flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trouble gets away. Mahomes racing with the bad ankle and all inside the 20, and he's taken down. Somehow, Patrick Mahomes.
When was that? Well, Super Bowl 57. That was Patrick Mahomes the first time he faced the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Pearl off a game that is deserving of being an all-time classic. I'm sorry if it brought up some painful memories for you as an Eagles fan, but that was Kevin Burkhardt on Fox. And, you know, we noticed and talking to you guys and just sort of getting prepped for the Super Bowl, there doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement about this rematch. And I'm curious if you're feeling any kind of juice.
I think there's a lot of it. There is excitement, but it's not about the matchup. I think there's excitement about the Chiefs trying to three-peat or hating the Chiefs. There's definitely a buzz about, oh, I hate the Chiefs. But nobody's like, man, I'm glad the Chiefs are playing the Eagles part two. I have not heard one person say that. It's nothing against the Eagles, but first of all, it's a sequel. And I know you like sequels, but most people do not like sequels. They're usually a watered-down version of the first game. And secondly, the opportunity of what could have been. You could have had Detroit here. You could have had Buffalo here. You could have had Lamar Jackson trying to break through. So I think that there are other matchups that would have really got people excited. This ain't it.
Okay, but are we so much about just the prisoner of the moment that we can't remember 2 years ago that this gave us an all-time great game? Was it 28-3? Was it historic? It actually was historic in a couple ways. But was it 28-3, an all-time comeback? No, but it was Mahomes on a bad ankle, and it re-injured it early on in the game. It was another Chiefs 10-point deficit, this time at halftime. Yeah. It was Mahomes 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Do you remember there was a 65-yard punt return in this game, which was the longest in the history of the Super Bowl?
I do.
Extra credit if we... You remember who it was.
Kadarius Toney.
It absolutely was.
Nobody will ever forget that. That guy can fly, but what a knucklehead.
Yeah,
anyway.
what an interesting dude. He also scored a touchdown in that game. So there was so many things that happened that were kind of classic. You know, I think we remember for James Bradberry defensive holding, and after the game he goes, "Yes, I did hold," which kind of took away any of the controversy. But this was a really great Super Bowl. Can we really not just go back 2 years and maybe Jalen Hurts getting a little revenge? That's not a good enough storyline?
I don't think the point is whether the last Super Bowl was good or not. It's just been there, done that. You would play that. We played that Mahomes highlight. That could have been from 50 other games. If this was scripted like pro wrestling, there's no way they would go back to this. Well, they would have a new storyline because we've seen this Chiefs thing so many times. You mentioned this like another 10-point comeback. I didn't hear that like the other time. Like, another 10-point comeback. No, I just like
I meant to say another 10-point.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, Mahomes is gonna and like. Basically the same game last year. They won by 3 in the Super Bowl. I think people are tired of this style of Super Bowl. And also, too, if you think about rematches, it's rarely the Giants beat the Patriots in 2007. Amazing. All-time Super Bowl. The next game in 2011 was almost as good, but nobody cares. So I just think that that's sort of the vibe I'm getting about this Eagles-Chiefs-specific matchup.
Man, I think we're kind of sleeping on what could be a real giant of a game. And I think the 3-point wins and Super Bowl 57 was ultimately won on a Harrison Butker field goal. But like, I think he had missed a field goal, by the way, earlier in the game. So it actually was a very dramatic moment. He kind of feels a little automatic now, but I believe he missed a field goal earlier in the game. Anyway,
it was pretty close though.
No, but here's the thing. Having a 3-point win in the Super Bowl as someone who's just watching the game, that's almost as good as you can get. Mm. The worst Super Bowls are like the stretch we went through when I was a kid, and partly my team contributed to a few of these, which is just the blowouts, you know, the ones where it feels over at halftime and, you know, everyone's just the dip's getting cold and everyone's kind of starts thinking about having to work the next day. And the Super Bowl party kind of falls flat. And these are exciting games where no one wants to, you know, get up for a second.
Right. Like kind of the national title games of college football have been like that on and off the last few years. I totally understand what you're saying. But we are pretty much guaranteed a close Super Bowl in the modern era. There are very, very few blowouts. There's way too much parity. And you can't – the Chiefs – every great Super Bowl team has to get ripped apart by the salary cap. The Chiefs had to let Tyreek Hill go. So they're never going to be able to blow out the other team. I would be surprised if they had a blowout here because they haven't blown out anyone. You know it's going to be a close game, and you know that Patrick Mahomes will probably do something at the end. It seems predictable. It seems like we know what's going to happen. That's why you had to get, if you were a scriptwriter, get Josh Allen and the Bills in there, or Lamar Jackson, and definitely the Detroit Lions. And I'm taking my Eagles fan hat. Of course, I want to see the Eagles, but I think if you gave most of the public a choice between the Lions and the Eagles, of course they're taking the Lions.
I know. The Lions are a great story, could have become America's underdog, but they had too many injuries. Like, that just happened. They got beat soundly at home. Let's call it what it is. The Lions didn't deserve to go to the Super Bowl. You can't lose to a rookie quarterback at home. You know, even with the injuries, you can't do that. And they don't deserve to be here. Your Eagles do. Your Eagles beat the Rams in the snow. Your Eagles
thank God it
beat
was snowing.
The Packers. Your Eagles beat the Commanders. Like, you're the worthy NFC representative.
Oh, I hear you.
And, you know, to be honest, like, yeah, some of the quarterback rematches that we have throughout history, some have been, you know, not amazing, and I'll put my team right at the top, like Jim Kelly, Troy Aikman, 2.0. Well, 1.0 was actually worse. 2.0 was not great. But you're telling me Bradshaw, Staubach?
That's the one great one. Yeah, the second, the 35-31 game was amazing. It's an all-timer. But
Brady-Eli, becomes a hilarious one. I think the Brady-Eli ones are awesome because Brady's real rival was Peyton. Yet here comes aw shucks little brother Eli, who turns into the Terminator in these two games and never went to the playoffs, never won a playoff game, pardon me, and any other run.
Well, the first one is obviously
iconic.
Bigger. Iconic. Yeah, Manningham
one, that was a pretty amazing catch. That was an Eli throwing catch that was memorable.
Right, but I think it was certainly watered down because you had the first one. That's my point. Like, what are they going to have to do on Sunday to really make it, besides the three-peat storyline? There's nothing about this game. It could be the closest game ever. I mean, last year went to overtime, so I'm not sure what they could do as far as game action to make this game stand out. I think the three-peat will stand out, but that's about it.
Listen, we've been talking, we're asking you if you're excited to watch the Super Bowl rematch, but And you can call us at 855-212-4227. The other thing, though, I'm surprised is not getting a little bit more play and or excitement, not play, excitement. And I get it. The Eagles are not a national fan base necessarily.
They're national-ish. They're nationally adjacent, I would say.
Okay.
They get all the primetime.
National-ish. I'll give you that.
Yeah, like they're on SportsCenter all the time. But anyway.
Okay. Perfect. So they're national-ish. You got stars all over the place for the Eagles. You really do. A.J. Brown's a star. Devontae Smith is a star.
Devontae Smith? I mean,
he's a Heisman Trophy winner.
I mean, a star, but I think you're being a little generous, but please go ahead.
Okay, massive 45-yard reception in the first time around, Super Bowl 57. Smith is a star. I mean, Alabama. Okay, well, we can agree to disagree. Let's not get caught in the weeds here.
Has he ever been to a Pro Bowl?
I just assume that he has.
I don't think so, but you can check that.
Let's
but go ahead.
Let's get the stats and info on that one after Manny's done brushing his beard. So, priorities. So, I'm surprised, even if people aren't like gaga over the Eagles, I'm surprised that the revenge factor hasn't been something that people have gotten on board with. Let's talk about what happened. We talk about the Chiefs three-peat, and that's really the headliner. But I'm going to say the 1B of this Super Bowl, Eagles revenge factor. Eagles lose a heartbreaking Super Bowl 38-35. Jalen Hurts, outside of this weird fumble that got returned for a touchdown, played awesome in this game. Devontae Smith played awesome in this game. They got very little from the run game, which we think will be different now because Saquon Barkley's back there. What happened to the Eagles after they lost this game? They started 10-1 the next year, but went into a tailspin. The after effects of that Super Bowl were widely felt the Eagles.
They lost both coordinators. That was a killer.
Well, that was a killer. You have to be thinking there has to be nothing but revenge on their minds.
No, first of all, it's a different team. There's no Kelsey. The whole defense is completely different. In two years,
probably bodes well for you.
Yeah,
that's a better thing. You've gotten younger and better, especially on the defensive line. No more Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. I don't think is coming back.
But there's no revenge. None of those guys. Most of the D line wasn't there. Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell weren't there. Saquon wasn't there.
How about coach and quarterback?
But Sirianni is, I don't know, who knows what that guy's thinking. Jalen Hurts is not a human. He's a robot. He doesn't seem to, he is not your typical revenge guy. You think Jalen Hurts is thinking revenge? Who knows what Jalen Hurts is thinking?
Well, I read a story that Jalen Hurts had kept either a picture or the final score or something from that Super Bowl as the background on his phone for like a year and a half.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to read. Jalen Hurts is a bit inscrutable to me. He doesn't say much. But, maybe Jalen Hurts, but you have to admit, it's a wildly different team in just 2 years. Kelsey's not there. I mean, it's totally has a different flavor.
How funny that we're like, the center's gone. Can you even name the center on 20 football teams?
He's like the eighth most famous person in the NFL, Jason Kelsey. I also, A.J. Brown, I see like he could be, you know, he just cares about his targets. He doesn't care about who wins the game anyway.
That's unfair.
I'm just saying, like, he's not your typical revenge guy. He's a different cat. I just think that, I don't hear a lot of revenge. Also, the Eagles...
You could be the team that stops the dynasty in its tracks.
The Bills would want revenge. The Eagles and the Chiefs, you know, they Andy Reid in common. It doesn't feel like a revenge. I'm not hearing revenge. Are you hearing a lot of, like, man, we want to get them back? Maybe in the locker room they are. It just feels like they're such a different team. They have a totally different character because of Saquon there. Like, they're built around Saquon now. Feels like they might as well have different jerseys. There's nothing in common with these two teams.
855-212-4227.
Sirianni wants revenge on every game. Like, who knows what that guy... He's just ready to yell at some fans and mix it up.
Yeah, his own fans.
Yeah, I know. Sirianni, I don't think has this game... I think he has every game penciled as a revenge game. I don't know on who. Yeah, I get it. I'm curious. We should put it out there. I don't think this is a matchup people wanted.
855-212-4227. Listen, wanted. Listen, you don't always get what you want in life. This is sports. You know, we joke around about the script and how everything's scripted, but this is like the last thing we have that you never really know the outcome. It's always in the balance. And listen, it would have been awesome for our show if it would have been Bills Eagles. That could have been a lot of fun, a lot of show bets, a lot of interesting stuff. But Bills didn't hold up their end of the bargain. The Chiefs did.
Would it be more exciting if Lamar Jackson was in the Super Bowl just to see how he performed? We know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. It feels like a I think they're, I've been trying to defend the Chiefs, but there's fatigue. That's the perfect word to describe this matchup to me.
Yeah, let us know what you think. We are everywhere you are. On the Infinity Sports Network, we say good morning to our affiliates. We are on SiriusXM XM 375. Babe Ruth, John Elway, Reggie Bush at USC. That's how you can remember where we are on SiriusXM. You can watch the show youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet and twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Also on X at Maggie Gray. Definitely want to highlight those social channels because, guys, we are T-minus 4 days until we are out of here and down to New Orleans. And our guest list is shaping up very nicely.
Nice.
I know. Very pleased with how this is going. Lots of positive feedback. We have a lot of different things planned for off of Radio Row.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. There's something we're planning that's kind of dangerous.
I think you can kind of, you can remove the kind of.
Yeah, no, it's life-threatening.
It's dangerous, it's life-threatening. We haven't told anybody at work about it.
Actually, multiple things that could be life-threatening. Two things.
Two things that could be life-threatening.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
honestly,
right.
Just getting through the week uninjured would be a victory. I don't even need the Eagles to win. I just don't want to end up in the ER and somewhere in Metairie, Louisiana.
You know, I don't know why we decided to go and, like, we really are being risky in this one.
Yeah, it's not my call. Believe me, I was like, no, that's a terrible idea again and again and again.
I know. Well, you know how
But you guys were all so insistent. We got to do this.
I know. Well, so I have a feeling, like, EJ and I can be a little, like, egg each other on a little bit. Like, once we get a good idea, we're like, yeah, and we should make it 12.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, and this. And Prof's like, wait a minute. Are you guys sure we're going
to? He's like, let's reverse this back. Let's go to the beginning here. You want to do what off the top of this building?
Yeah, just like pump the brakes. And EJ and I have already made 4 phone calls. We are already like basically getting fitted for harnesses. Like, it just, I've noticed this about you and I, EJ. Like, we wouldn't be good if we were like in stunt coordinators or something.
Or like in one of those like game shows where it's like, hey, you can leave now and go away with a lot of money or do something crazier to get more money. We would be the people that would just keep going,
with nothing.
And then lose everything. Yep. Absolutely everything.
We are leave with nothing people.
I mean, says the woman who won't get on a roller coaster, by the way.
And got up from the blackjack table when I was up $200 because I needed to go buy a backpack.
Yeah.
I had a specific thing in mind that I wanted to buy. I picked it out and I got the money and I was like, all right, guys, I got to go. I got this backpack on.
Yeah, that last minute was like you were out there bungee jumping left and right. Maggie's like, I don't want to go on that elevator. It moves too fast.
I don't like the ones that are all glass. 855-212-4227. No, but we, you know, sometimes we just get it over our skis is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, right.
You know? You said it. We have two very dangerous things that we're planning for New Orleans. So that's going to be a fun way to kick off the week.
I mean, you could argue a third dangerous thing, depending on how it goes.
Including in the eating contest with Zion Williamson.
Well, that's your bound to lose.
Oh, that's like going against Mahomes.
Yeah. No matter what the score is at halftime, you know, he's coming back. Does he play basketball anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly.
He's kind of awesome now.
Is he back?
Their team is terrible.
He plays like once every 3 games. It's insane. But when he plays, he looks great.
Oh, my God. His efficiency rate.
So basically, that's the NBA. He plays once every 3 games.
He's like going to set the all-time efficiency record. He's amazing. I want him on my team so badly.
You already have a Zion Williamson. His name is Joel Embiid. He doesn't play every other game.
Zion's so much more exciting than Joel. Joel just like, Zion doesn't do the 9 pump fakes / layup. Anyway,
by the way,
we'll see Zion down there.
No. I looked. No Pelicans games at home while we're down there.
That's devastating.
I know.
That doesn't matter. He wouldn't play anyway.
Yeah, he's going to be staying in New Orleans, probably eating some gumbo. I digress.
We should try to tap into like where he goes.
Just real quick, he has scored more points than minutes in his last four games. He's gotten more points than minutes. Dude is fire. He's amazing. He just never, ever plays.
Ah, yeah, that's a big flaw.
For a basketball player, yes.
Yeah, for a professional athlete to never play. 855-212-4227. Anyway, we were talking today about whether you're excited to watch the Super Bowl rematch. I think people are forgetting that this was a classic game that happened 2 short years ago. Why we would think we're not going to get another one when this Eagles team is definitely better than the team that went to the Super Bowl 57. 855-212-4227. Maggie Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I heard a great analogy. We're discussing whether people are excited for the Eagles-Chiefs rematch. This is from our friends at Part of My Take, Barstool Sports, Big Cat, and PFT. Is this game, as far as sequels go, going to be like the Jump Street 22, which was exactly like Jump Street 21, the movie with Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill? Or is it going to be Rocky 2, where in Rocky 2, Rocky won the title, and Rocky 1, he lost it? Meaning, will the Eagles be Rocky 2? Now, 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, this, I was going to say, but...
Which is a masterpiece, by the way. I watched it with my daughter the other day.
I know. Well, Manny, I didn't even know it existed until Manny... like emailed me a clip and I basically peed my pants.
My name is Jeff.
I didn't know that Channing Tatum could even be funny.
Oh my God. Jesus, Channing Tatum is nothing but funny. He's like 10 funny movies. Oh,
come on now, Mags.
What are the funny movies? He's the Magic Mike. He's taking his clothes off. Like
21 and 22 Jump Street.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen him in the movie The End of the World with James Franco? He is
but he's
over
playing
the
himself.
Top. He's sort of playing himself. He is over the top funny. Yeah, he's always funny.
Wait, so... Okay, forgive me. I get the Rocky 1, Rocky 2 analogy.
Yeah, so
that's where Rocky gets his revenge on Apollo.
Well,
and he wins.
Rocky in the first one loses to Apollo.
But gains his respect.
And says there ain't going to be no rematch. But of course, there's a rematch because they need the money. And then he wins the belt in the second one.
I know
which is a far inferior movie, by the way.
So that makes sense to me. I don't get the 21-22
so
Jump Street.
The fear is that... 22 Jump Street, they openly took the same exact plot from the first movie and just repeated it.
So it's just like every other sequel.
So it's going to be like, is the Eagles-Chiefs going to play out exactly like the last game?
Oh, with Chiefs winning again.
Yeah, Chiefs winning by a field goal. I think that's the most likely outcome, to be honest. If you actually look at the Chiefs' 17 wins in a row and games that are decided less than a score, of course it's going to be a 3-point Chiefs win. You know this, Maggie, but you've seen it against your team.
Yeah.
That is by far the most likely outcome.
No, the Chiefs just had a 3-point win over my team. We just watched this like less than a week ago.
And last year they had a 3-point. Last year was 3 points too. Wasn't it?
4, wasn't it? They kicked a field goal and they scored a touchdown. Oh, no, they wouldn't have kicked the extra point. So, yeah, it was probably 3. Anyway, I guess... here's the thing, and I know you're very nervous, I can tell, and you're kind of like doing this protecting your feelings as an Eagle fan, and you don't want to, you're already come up with excuses. But you have a better team this time around.
Than
you
last
do.
Time.
You absolutely do.
Debatable.
No, I don't think so.
Your
defense is younger and better. You are relying on Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. Wow. Those guys were on the 2017 championship.
Brandon Graham's going to be on this team.
Which is crazy. He's basically a radio broadcaster at this point.
I think that is you bring up some good points, but listen, Fletcher Cox was still awesome then, and Jason Kelsey's gone. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but the touch push still works.
Not like it did. No, I mean, listen, they've already blown two this postseason. Or was it? Yeah, there's been two penalties.
You also flustered an opponent to the point where the referee basically had to scold them into stopping to stop jumping the line and trying to, you know, get ahead of the tush push.
We had no
turnover so far this postseason. And again, the tush push works, dude. Like
It's shaky. It didn't work on the 2-point conversion. That was insane.
But you don't. It's not like you're fumbling the ball.
No, but it's the efficiency has dropped off a cliff. It used to be 100%, and now it's. Now it's dicey. I mean, you saw the 2-point conversion where they judged him short. He clearly made it, by the way. But the difference is the Eagles have Saquon now. That's the only point
and
I will agree with you.
Saquon is the number one thing. I was looking at the defense with more of the younger guys and,
that defense,
and the interior. But Saquon is a complete field tilter.
They do have Saquon. But it still feels like the Chiefs have the same advantages over the Eagles that they did last time. Like the Chiefs are going to be able to control the game. With Kelsey and the run game, and who knows what wide receiver they'll find. It's going to be there's a good chance it's the same exact game.
I think the Eagles have a better shot. And what was the spread on the first game versus this game? Maybe we can grab our stats and info on that one. 855-212-4227. Are you excited to watch the Super Bowl rematch? Is the question.
Spread was Eagles -1.
Really?
Yes. Over was 51.
Oh, is it because of Mahomes' ankle?
Probably.
That Eagles team was really feeling it. I mean, they went up 24-14. That was a very good Eagles team.
Yeah.
Their passing game, they had Steichen and Gannon, and like everything was clicking for that team. This team has been a little choppier toward the end. Because the playoffs, like, what do we really know? They beat a beat-up Packers team. Like, Jordan Love is a shell of himself. They beat the Rams in the snow, and they beat the Commanders. So they're very untested coming into this game, right? This, we have no idea how they're going to line up against it. The Bill, like, honestly, I think the Bills-Eagles would have been a real close matchup. You're saying this is house money for the Eagles. Like, should I feel upset or nervous in advance?
So I don't think it's house money, and here's why. There could be a major devastating hangover once again if you lose this game. Oh, I did not like what I saw from the Eagles the first time around, and I get it. It's devastating to lose a Super Bowl. You guys, all the jokes come my way for being a Bills fan, but that was not good for your franchise, to the point where Nick Sirianni had to get, you know, more duties taken away from him, cycling out even more coordinators. I mean, wow. It's a credit to the Eagles that they did not let this thing completely go off the rails. I think it's more a credit to Howie Roseman and this roster that he put together. It's just, you guys have too much talent. You hit on draft picks. This thing could have gone so sideways, we may never have heard from you for the next 3 or 4 years. And instead, you're back in the Super Bowl. You can't afford a bad loss like that.
There's no question. I mean, everyone knows what happened. Basically, they wanted Fangio to run the defense, but he just had taken the Miami job, and they played too late. So they hired two coordinators that they had no idea if they were any good, and they were both awful.
Yeah.
Then they brought in Matt Patricia, which made it even worse somehow. And their quarterback.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
Yeah, their quarterbacks got old. Like, that was predictable. What's going to happen next year is Saquon's going to be burned out. That's the big fear, I would think, next year. But they do have a young defense. So maybe they're on, like, an every other year, like a San Francisco Giants in the early 2010s. I'm not really worried about a Super Bowl hangover right now. Like, we got things to focus on here. I don't think the Eagles, your Bills.
But that's why house money doesn't apply to your team.
But it's not desperate. Like, if the Bills were there, the desperation level would be 100.
Because there's ghosts. That's
right.
Why.
Well, they haven't been able to break through. Yeah. If Lamar Jackson was there, the desperation level would be 100. I think that the Eagles, for some reason, because they got one in 2017, just don't feel like that. And I think they're happy to be here a little bit, which is, I know Philly fans would kill me for saying that, but I think that they're pretty proud that they got to this point.
You know, I went back and was reading some articles about the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and the crowd breakdown, you were there.
Yeah.
The crowd breakdown, they said, was like 70-30 Eagles.
Yeah, it didn't feel.
So,
yeah,
you just won one in 2017, but clearly the fan base was still totally on board.
The data on ticket sales is most of the sales are coming from Pennsylvania, very few from the Kansas City area. So I would think that, Eagles fans probably travel better than Chiefs fans. They're more Eagles fans. It's a bigger city. I think it's going to be definitely a Philly crowd.
See, I think Kansas City fans do travel well. I just think that, you know, going to a Super Bowl is not cheap. And so how many people can afford to go year after year after year? Hopefully you go one, see it with your kids, your parents, your grandparents, whatever, and you kind of get your one. I can't imagine too many people are saying, all right, this is our fifth one in 6 years. Let's get the band back together and pony up, $4,000 a ticket to get back into the stadium. It's a lot.
You're right. Also, Philly's just a much, much bigger city. There's many, many more fans. I mean, Philly's, I think, the fifth biggest city in the country, or fourth. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of green in the crowd. You're right. Like, why are you buying tickets for this? They're like, we'll be here next year anyway. They're probably checking out the next five Super Bowl sites to be like, well, Mahomes will be there. I can go to San Francisco, visit some relatives. Like, if you're a Chiefs fan, it's like, this is business as usual.
You're just scouting cities at this point to go that you like to vacation in. Well, New Orleans is not a bad idea. 855-212-4227. Bogish has headlines for us. Lots going on, pal.
Guys, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Sadly, there is a sports connection to this horrific midair collision in Washington, D.C. Russian media says two world champion figure skaters were on the flight, as were members of U.S. figure skate, and the sports governing body here in the States says younger skaters, their families, and coaches were returning from a development camp that was held after the World Championships in Wichita. The next press conference from D.C. is scheduled for just about an hour from now. A deep exhale and unimportant NFL coaching news this morning. The Jets are hiring Steve Wilks as defensive coordinator. The former Cardinals head coach did not have a job this past season after running the Niners defense back in 2023. And the Raiders are expected now to keep defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. He was originally hired by Josh McDaniels 3 years ago, stayed on with Antonio Pierce, and now Pete Carroll is keeping him as well. In the NBA last night, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 52 a week after a career-high 54, but the Thunder lose to the Warriors in San Francisco, 116-109. The Mavs outscored the Pelicans, 137-136. New Orleans has now dropped four in a row. The Cavs, a wire-to-wire, 126-106 win in Miami. And some issues for Wemby last night against the Clippers.
This is what happened, a little dust up at the end. Barnes hits the three off that Wemby block. Zubats then kind of shoves Victor and he goes flying. Wemby was hot.
Yeah, well, he didn't kind of shove him. He ran right at Victor and throws him into the ground. And you see, he goes right after Victor there, and that should have been a technical.
That's the best recap from Spurs TV. So what happened was Wemby blocked Ivica Zubac on one end. Zubac thought he was fouled, no whistle, so he gets up angry. They go down the floor, play continues, and as a three is going in, he runs over Wemby. He says, "I'm sprawling into the corner of the court." Wemby gets up, charges at him, kind of gets stopped. Nothing really happens, so Wemby upset postgame.
It feels unfair sometimes, you know, but it's... Of course, we talk about it with the staff, and there is some stuff I have to do to help myself.
So while you sit here and verbally attack him, Perloff, he's getting pushed around on NBA courts as well.
I'm not surprised. It's how NBA works, right?
Well, he's got to stand up. He's got to stand up for himself.
Yeah, you got to
like this.
Yeah. I mean, that's a rite of passage. I agree. You have to say like, yeah, definitely push around the big guy, push around the young guy.
But once again, because the first person that stops him is a regular-sized human security
it
guard.
Weird.
And it just, it doesn't look real. It looks like he's like an avatar or something being correct. Like it's just a remarkable visual every time he's near regular people.
It is true. Although I find it interesting. We're like, this is the future of the league. It's like, no, it's not. It's one guy. I guess maybe Chet Holmgren, but it's really, you have to first off be... beyond the regular freaks of nature that the NBA players are, and then beyond that, like it's not sustainable because there's not guys like this walking around the earth.
Right. Wait, what's your point on this?
Well,
one?
The fact that people say like, "Oh, Wemby," it's like this is the next era of the NBA. It's like, no, it's not. It's a one-off of this dude.
People
who
are saying
is this alien like body type combined with athleticism.
People are saying there's more 7'6" Frenchmen coming to the NBA. I actually wasn't aware
with guard skills.
Yeah.
I thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was the next era.
Yeah. Like, why do you think they're closing the borders?
Yeah. Not. I didn't know that there's an army of Wembys about to come into the NBA.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I think that people are like, oh, this is the next era, the big man. I'm like, he's like the big man times two.
Well, we might get worse versions of him. Like, just like we had worse versions of Kevin Durant. Like, other 6'11 guys who could shoot and kind of dribble, but they're not Kevin Durant. Like, it's always the original, and then there's the knockoffs.
Right.
That's probably what we'll get at Wemby. Like, we'll probably be another 7'2 guy who can dribble and shoot a little bit. And we'll say, he's like Wemby, and he's not.
Well, you already have that guy. His name's Kristaps Porzingis.
But right. There's never Porzingis,
really, he was a unicorn. He was pre-Wemby.
Right, exactly. But Wemby's kind of from him.
Yeah, right. I think, Kristaps is like the OG 7'4", but he can run the floor, he can shoot.
He had the game of his life last night, right? Isn't that...
Porzingis?
Yeah, he went Steph Curry on somebody. He had like 9 threes. But anyway, there's never another Shaq, though. Nobody ever.
Yep.
There was never anyone. Who was the second Shaq? Andre Drummond?
I mean, Tractor Trailer.
Tractor Trailer was 6'8".
No, that's a joke. Yeah.
I know.
I think they thought it was going to be Yao Ming, but Yao didn't really
have
that.
Well, Yao's closer to Wemby. Like, nobody was ever powerful like Shaq. Yeah, I don't think there's another Wemby coming.
Dwight Howard thinks he's Shaq.
You know? 3 defensive players of the year?
There's a similarity.
There's the key word in that sentence.
I mean, you could fit 2 Dwight Howards in Shaq. Shaq was just so much bigger than everybody. Dwight Howard was, how tall do you think Dwight Howard was?
6'10"?
6'11", yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq is gigantic. I don't know. I don't think Dwight Howard is quite physically like Shaq. You know who the future is, though? And it's Ahmed Thompson's league, right?
I mean,
I've never seen a guy take
Cooper
off on social
mom.
Media. Like, it's all about Ahmed. Do I have the right name? Like, he's amazing.
Ahmed Thompson, yep, you got it.
Oh, my God. My social timeline is all him. Like, I don't think Wemby's the future. Like, you're right. This is a one-off.
Ahmed excellence.
This is like that meme of Stone Cold and Vince McMahon shaking hands. This is me and Perloff agreeing on a basketball take.
Well, you know what?
Thompson is awesome.
When America discovered Anthony Edwards was ridiculously good, that feels like that's happened in the last few weeks with Ahmed Thompson.
It's wild. Like, he's like, oh, this guy, yeah, he's just the next superstar. Like, wow, we didn't think about
that. Well, first of all, he's got a twin. So first we had to distinguish one guy from the other guy.
No idea.
They didn't play college basketball. They played for Overtime Elite. Yeah. So that's another reason why people may not be familiar. Because I don't even know. I have the Overtime Elite app, and I still don't know if I can watch the games in there.
They don't exist anymore, right? Or is that this last year?
Yeah, I think OTE is over with. Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I got to call my friend.
You should delete the app. G League Ignite also no longer a thing.
But I don't know where you heard I'm not sure where you heard this take that Wemby is the future.
Wemby might be the future. But like, not that he's, there's not like more guys wandering the French countryside at 7'5 with a handle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like some owner's like, go find me the next Wemby.
Search every French winery and chateau.
Yeah, hey, but you know what? It's a big step up from Frederick Weiss.
I mean, maybe we get one every 35 years.
Well, we got Zach Edey. He's kind of like that.
But Zach Edey isn't French.
No, I know, but he's tall.
He's tall.
Short. Canadian.
Doesn't fall over.
Maybe. He's Canadian, which is close to French.
That's closer than the five of us sitting here.
Yeah. They speak French in that country.
By the way, Wemby and the Spurs lost this game last night, 128-116 the Clippers. Men's number one, Auburn, an 87-74 win at LSU. They are now 19-1, matching the best 20-game start in program history. Number six, Houston, took down West Virginia, 63-49, for a 13-game win streak. And Notre Dame football is reportedly hiring veteran assistant Chris Ash as defensive coordinator. He replaces Al Golden, who took that same job with the Bengals. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, we have to check in with America's team, making some hires, making some declarations. We'll do that next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. If you're familiar with the show, you know that music. It's our Cowboy Quickie music. We talked a little about the Brian Schottenheimer introductory press conference, which was really just the Jerry show.
Right, Schottenheimer was there, but it definitely wasn't his show. I totally agree.
He did get to talk briefly, and, you know, he was mentioned. But no, this was about Jerry. This was Jerry being very reflective and wistful at times, reminding people what an outside-the-box thinker he is and risk-taker because his origin story in football of buying the Dallas Cowboys, and we got the whole TikTok of that. So, good luck, Cowboy fans. However, one thing that came out of this, well, two things. One, Matt Eberflus is going to be your defensive coordinator, somebody who Cowboy fans are familiar with, was linebacker coach for a long time, and developed some really successful linebackers like Sean Lee and others.
Okay.
The one thing I don't understand here is there was a thought that Dak Prescott said this, that his future is tied to the success of Brian Schottenheimer.
All right. But I mean, kind of makes sense on the surface. Next coach.
I don't see this that way at all.
What do you mean? Of course his future, I mean, his immediate future is tied to Shotty.
Okay, well, yeah, this season. I'm telling you, Diana Russini had some good reporting on this, and I believe her. I think the Cowboys were blindsided by the fact they could not get a new contract with Mike McCarthy. I do not think they were expecting to be in a coaching search. Diana said as much. They interviewed four candidates. Jerry was asked about it. He started crying. Like, I do not think that they anticipated being in this spot. And so they were like, Schottenheimer. They were basically picking between Kellen Moore and Schottenheimer. And Kellen Moore just happened to be in the Super Bowl now as the Eagles' offensive coordinator. Yeah, so you can't wait on him because the Senior Bowl's going on and you got all these things. I think Schottenheimer is either a bridge, a Band-Aid. He's not long-term, in my opinion, unless he really blows him out of the water this year. So is Dak's fate tied to Brian Schottenheimer? Absolutely not.
I'll do a show bet on that, and you got to give me odds. Like, you think Jerry's going to do one and done Brian Schottenheimer, who he clearly loves like a third son? I mean, I think Jerry never fires his coach. It takes him forever to fire a coach. So Shotty's not – I doubt he's going to be a bridge, because I think he probably sticks around like Jason Garrett style. It feels like Jason Garrett 2.0.
I don't know. I think they wanted Garrett, you know? I think Schottenheimer just feels like plan B. I think they wanted Mike McCarthy. This feels like plan B.
I think they settled on Mike McCarthy. I don't know why they – I don't actually have any idea why they kept Garrett around when he couldn't break through. So I just think that his style is to keep guys around that he likes.
Yeah, well, let's see. So that's your Cowboy quickie.
You think he would do one and done? Is he even Dave Campo, I think, got a few years, and he was had no success whatsoever. I'd be surprised if he was out. But that being said, I get this. Like, I'm not surprised at all that Dak says this. It's kind of something you would say in this situation, no?
Well, they tried a little bit, to go out of their way to say that this was not just about Dak Prescott, the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. But it's kind of, of course it is, right? Like, you want to keep the if all else fails, and if you didn't see this coming, and you need to make a hire in 2 weeks, well, maybe keeping the continuity for your quarterback is a smart thing to do in this day and age for this type of league. So, you know, I think it is about Dak. It is about his success. But if Brian Schottenheimer falls on his face, and let's just say it's a Nathaniel Hackett situation, he's just not ready, I don't think that they're going to say, all right, Dak, you're out too.
Well, I mean, Dak said it himself. He's like, I got three more years on my deal here, and that's tied. I don't think people have bright hopes for Dak Prescott. Like, it's funny you said Dak Prescott's future. I'm like, Dak Prescott's future. I mean, he'll be lucky if he can stay upright. The second you said that, I'm like, I have no
faith.
Prospects for Dak Prescott to take. I don't think he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. And because of the situation, I like Dak Prescott. I think he's a good quarterback. But is anyone like, wow, I'm so excited we have Dak on board? I don't get that vibe at all from the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, he's coming off of another lower body injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely over 30, about 30.
There are a lot of teams that are excited about their quarterbacks. The Cowboys are definitely not on that list. Packers, Commanders. There are a lot of, obviously the teams like the Texans who have these young guys. The Cowboys are like, yeah, we still have Dak. That's my vibe. Like,
they just paid him.
That doesn't mean it was smart.
Meanwhile, no to the show bet, because I already owe a show bet about Dak Prescott. Because I thought that the Cowboys were actually for once going to do the smart move, which would be to say goodbye to Dak Prescott after the season. Instead, they do the opposite. They make him the highest paid quarterback in the league and give him a contract extension. And now I've got to go to the Waffle House and eat 24 hours worth of waffles.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not making another Dak related bet because I'm 0-1.
Yeah, I just think I would win that bet because Schottenheimer seems like you took all the mid Cowboys coaches and combined them into one person and have Brian. He's part Jason Garrett, part Wade Phillips. Part, Wade Phillips, son of a coach,
yep,
famously.
Son of
a bum. Part Dave Campo, part Chan Gailey. It's like they glommed every Jerry coach into one guy because Jerry's like, screw it. I want all the attention. I'm going to hire the lowest wattage coach possible. He's not even messing around anymore. He could have interviewed
Ben. He probably could have had Marty if he really wanted him, but didn't even get the dad.
I think he's like, well, people expect me to interview Ben Johnson. I don't think so. I am the show. He's getting up there, and he's not even messing around. He's like, I am going to do all the post-game interviews. People are going to come to me. I'm not hiring a coach that other people are going to pay attention to. Those are big waffles. Yeah.
Speaking of, you're absolutely right, by the way. But speaking of the waffle bet, Can I share an email that we got recently
to
Maggie
and Perloff
at gmail.com? So it's going to be after the Super Bowl, obviously. We got to let the dust settle. This should really be about the teams that are in the Super Bowl and potentially about Perloff's pain or jubilation. So as you guys know, I have to go to a Waffle House and eat 24 hours worth of waffles. For every waffle I eat, an hour comes off the 24 hours, right? So we got an email from John. I'm going to withhold his last name because I didn't ask him for permission here. John sent an email to maggieandperloff at gmail.com. When I tell you he laid this thing out like EJ, like he's a producer. He said the dilemma in bold. Eating 24 waffles or spending 24 hours at the Waffle House. Nailed it. The proposal and then bullet points of how to execute this thing, how to make it more fun. He tied in a charitable component to it, which you know we love to do around here. Anytime we can do something that makes us look stupid and also help somebody else, that's our sweet spot. And he had even clarifications about all he answered every question that we could have had. He thinks,
I want to hear the strategy. What's his eating strategy?
So here's the strategy. He said that we should do the show from a Waffle House. So that takes from 24 hours down to 20 hours because we're a 4-hour show. Then he says we should have celebrity sports broadcasters call into the show to bail me out, air quotes. And for every celebrity we get to call in, we get to take 1 hour off the bet and maybe a charitable component to that. And
that sounds like a cop out.
He said that we get bonus points if it's a woman in broadcasting who's calling in to encourage me.
All right.
And I get to take an hour off that way.
I see why.
I love this.
Maggie had a bounce in her step about this email. No.
What do you mean no?
People are going to be upset if you try to get out of the waffle bet.
Dude, this is not getting out of it. This is me having to do some serious legwork here to book these interviews.
Oh, my God. This is not going to go over well for you, Maggie.
By the way, can I tell you a clarification that he made about if a sports broadcaster or journalist is going to call in? He said, example, Dan Patrick qualifies. Todd Fritz does not.
Oh, that's me. What's wrong with Fritzy?
It's also going to make this a lot tougher if I can't get any of the Danettes.
At least
I have their numbers.
If our audience agrees for you to find a way to eat less waffles, then maybe I'll go for it. But I don't think people are going to like that.
You're telling me that getting a lifeline from Kevin Harlan to take off an hour and to get and some kind of charitable component, that's a no-go? I love this.
Yeah, I mean, of course you love that. But in replacing maple syrup with weak sauce sounds like a bad idea to me. This is, I don't know. I mean, you guys are over there.
Celebrity people could actually eat a waffle with you. Like if they came and ate one, that would take off an hour.
I think the geography of that might be hard.
More.
Yeah, that might be tough. We're going to be in the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere.
All right, well, we could talk about it. Is this a calorie thing? Do you not want to?
No. Not at all. Calorie thing. I had to put down a whole large pizza once for a different show, but it's not the calories. I just think this would be cool. Get to talk to some famous broadcasters. Get to do the charitable thing. Get a little empowerment aspect.
Okay, well, let's do all that for charity money, but you still have to eat the same amount of waffles.
No. No. It's not about the calories. It's about... survival.